Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find, if you would, the 130th Psalm. The 130th Psalm will be where we will begin. If you have a piece of paper or your bulletin somewhere, you might want to find 1 Peter chapter number 1. Psalm 130, 1 Peter chapter number 1 will be the two passages of Scripture that we find ourselves tonight. I want to preach to you a message that I have entitled, It's Under the Blood. It's Under the Blood. I hope you are familiar with that phrase. I believe you will find that that phrase and that truth and that understanding to be visited often in your spiritual life and in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual mind. I hope that you write that phrase down because it is a wonderful weapon in defense against the enemy and a wonderful way to encourage yourself in the Lord. Read with me, please. As I read out loud, read silently. It's Psalm 130, beginning at verse 1. We'll read all 8 verses. The psalmist writes, Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I, would you say that word, please? Hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Oh, you've ever had one of those long nights and you just can't wait for it to be morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. He's getting your attention there with an emphasis twice. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. And with him is plenteous redemption. I would have you underline those two words in that verse. They will be our theme tonight. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. I have been dominated in my heart and in my mind with the thought of redemption the last couple of weeks. And I have been running into the thought of redemption in my communication and my times with people. And the joy of this wonderful truth of the plenteous redemption that is in the Lord. The word redemption is a beautiful word. It's a word that means to buy back. It is a word that means to be delivered. It is a word that is beautiful when you reckon yourself, as the psalmist did, to be in the depths of whatever this case may be in your life. And I have been thinking about the thought of redemption and what a blessing it is in my life, both before I was saved and after I have been saved. I was talking with a man this week, sitting down, and he was introducing himself to me, and I was introducing myself to him. And I said, tell me your testimony. And he began to talk about his life. And I could tell that right as he began to start his life, it was not a simple or an easy life. And it was complex and complicated and not something that you would want everybody to publicly know. And he began to walk me down scenarios. And he had been married and now he wasn't married. And he had met somebody and life had been difficult and so on. And if you ever talk to somebody and they've got like 4 rabbit trails going at one time and you're kind of like, okay, here we go. Well, he started a rabbit trail here, a rabbit trail here, and a rabbit trail here, and a rabbit trail here. And every time he would start a rabbit trail, he would start because the one he was going down had a nasty ending. And then all of a sudden he stopped. And tears began to roll in his eyeballs. And they began to roll down his cheeks. This man's 66 years old. And he said to me something I will never forget. He said, Pastor, all that doesn't matter anymore because God has redeemed all of that. Man, I sat there and I had run into this thought of God redeeming all of that in people's lives and the blessedness of that. And I thought I would preach a little bit about that this evening to encourage you. And my desire is that it will bring hope in the midst of your life, hope for your tomorrow, hope that will enable you to sleep tonight, hope that will enable you, as Paul said, to forgetting those things which are behind and to be able to press forward in your walk with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that all of my sin has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about redemption prior to being saved. And I was thinking about some biblical examples of how this would look. And I thought about that woman at the well. You remember that woman of Samaria that the Lord Jesus met? And she was, if anything, not a righteous woman. And she had a disdain and a reputation upon her that she was not even allowed to really draw water with what we will call the proper ladies of society. She meets the Lord Jesus at the well, and the Lord Jesus is there waiting on her in John chapter 4, and he's getting ready to bring her to faith in him and an understanding of him to be the Messiah. Prior to doing this, he's got to get her lost before she can be saved. And so in the midst of this conversation, the Lord kind of stops everything, and he says, Miss, I would like to continue this, but could you go call your husband at this time? And that very statement brought horror to her heart, and she stopped, and she said this to the Lord Jesus. She said, "Sir, I have no husband." The Lord Jesus, knowing that what she had said was true, although it was disguised as an answer, says this to the woman, "Thou hast said rightly, for thou hast had five husbands." And all the ladies think, "Oh boy, five husbands." And then Jesus says to her, "And the man that you're with now is not your husband." Oh boy. I love, the Bible's got such a sense of humor. John records the next verse. The woman says, "I perceive you to be a prophet." Oh yeah, I'll bet she did. I'll bet she did. If you go through John chapter 4, you know that the woman gets saved, and then she goes into the city, and all of those men that understood who she was, and all of those ladies that had disdained her because of who she was, she begins to tell them about the Lord. And I believe if you met that woman, her life would be absolutely complicated, absolutely complex, absolutely under the consequence of her sin. And I'm sure that the message that she was delivering and somehow would have been inhibited by that, as they know. But what a delight for that woman to say, "But God has redeemed all of that. I'm so glad that God has redeemed all of my past." I think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a wicked man, a man wicked in self-righteousness and pride, a man who had a murderous heart, a man who his own self described him as being the chiefest of sinners. And even when God came, when Saul had been saved, and God comes to the man of God and tells the man of God to go meet Saul, the man of God says, whoa, don't you know who this man is? And Saul's past, Paul's past was just glaring and ugly and nasty and wicked. And I'm sure that it came up here or there as he's preaching and ministering. And what a joy for the Apostle Paul to say, "Oh yeah, but God redeemed all of that." One of the great joys of the salvation of Jesus Christ is the deliverance and the redemption from the sin and the guilt of our past. And God's people ought to say amen to that. Don't ever let anybody drag your past up to enable a position of defeat in you before you were saved. I think about the joy it is to look back prior to being saved and enjoy the fact that God redeems that. Well, but what about Christians? I don't know if you know this or not. It's in the Bible. You may not know this, but Christians are not perfect people. Just think about that a second. They're not perfect people. You know, I think about David. David was a man after God's own heart. And a man after God's own heart committed adultery. He lied. He committed murder. He was deceitful. He tried to cover all of that. And really and truthfully, as a Christian, because of his choices, David's life became a hot mess. A hot mess. You know, I have found that just because I walk with the Lord doesn't mean that I'm perfect, but it also sometimes my decisions, whether to intently sin against God or poor decisions where I lacked counsel or consequences, sometimes as a believer, I can create a hot mess in my life. It's one thing for other people to create a mess in my life, but it's another thing for when I create a mess in my life. And I'm so glad that not only has God redeemed my sinful past prior to coming to faith in Him, but even walking with Him, God can still redeem those failing sinful moments as the child of the living God. I'm never separated from God. And even though you and I do things we never dreamed we would do, and we do things that we hate as Paul did, or we don't do the things that we should, what a joy it is to find forgiveness and deliverance and redemption over and over and available to us through our Savior, even as believers, to come sometimes just think, man, I made a mess of that, but God, you redeemed me out of that. What a joy. Pastor, when you talk about redemption and God redeeming you of that, you got to be careful that you're not flippant about God just excusing behavior or doing something like that. I thought about that in the thought process. You should have something at 1 Peter. Would you go to 1 Peter? Let me just show you a verse that is anything but flippant when it comes to the redemption of God. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 18 of 1 Peter chapter number 1. For as much as ye know, I hope you know this, that ye were not, what's that word, class? Redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But you were redeemed, and it goes on verse 19, but with the precious, say that, blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, and raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your, what's that word, hope might be in God. My friends, the only reason God can redeem us is because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for the redemption of our sin. And so I need you to understand what God does with that. So when I came to Christ and I confessed myself a sinner, the redemption of that was because of the shed blood of Christ, which means all of my sin has been covered by His blood. And so no matter what your wicked, sinful past is, it's under the blood, and there is not a sinful stain that can penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Going forward, because all of my sin when I got saved was redeemed, my past, my present, and my future, as a child of the living God, now when I find myself in the hot mess of life through my sinful choices or through the consequences of foolish decisions, I once again have the ability to put those things under the blood of Jesus. Now, that does not mean that you'll not suffer consequence from your decisions. It doesn't mean that you won't suffer consequences from the difficulty of life. But it does mean in your conscience and in your faith and in your walk, you'll know the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. You'll not carry that burden of guilt and of despair because, yes, I found myself guilty, but I have repented of that. I have placed that under the blood, and that is where it is. And you're not going to take what is under the blood of Jesus and beat me over the head with it. Satan will do that. He will take what you have put under the blood, and he will try to destroy your fellowship with the Lord. People will take your past, that which is under the blood, and they will try to hammer you with that. And it's so effective that it robs from us hope. It robs from us joy. And I don't know about you, man, but what a delight it is to look back at the moments of my life, and when the devil brings them up to me and he wants to challenge me with whether I'm saved, he wants to challenge me in the foolishness of that, he wants to challenge me in the consequence of that, he wants to challenge me with the moment of that, I can just look at him and say, talk all you want to, but that's under the blood. Amen? Amen. Going back, if you would, to Psalm 130. Pastor, I have a hot mess tonight in my life. Pastor, my life is chaotic and complex and complicated, and I'm in some difficult moments here that I need some redemption out of where I am. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily being saved, but I'm talking about some deliverance here from the consequence. And God has confronted me with my doings. How do I get to that place? Look, if you would, at verse number 1. The psalmist first cried out, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. So plenteous redemption is available to the person who's drowning. You study that verse. When he says out of the depths, this is a man who is drowning. I don't know if you've ever been under the water very long when you've not been able to catch your breath. If you've ever been underwater and you've not been able to catch your breath or get your breath, and it gets to a moment there where it gets very scary, you never forget that moment. So here's the psalmist, and the psalmist is basically saying, man, I've got a hot mess in my life right now, and I feel like I am drowning. Look what he does in that moment. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. So out of that moment where he feels like he's drowning, he's lifting his voice in prayer, crying out to God, praying to the Lord, wanting God to hear his supplication. He's crying out for help. He's crying out in help, for help, because he has hope. Why does he have hope? Because he knows that with the Lord there's plenteous redemption. He understands the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. He understands the mercy of God. Look at verse number 3. Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is, say that word, forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that forgiveness is available in the Lord. And I'm glad that when I come to him seeking forgiveness with a repentant heart, there's redemption available. There's the power of the blood of Christ. There's an old hymn. We don't sing it much here. We may sing it entitled, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." What a joy it is to come and to bring my sin and my the difficulties there, and put them under the forgiving blood of the Savior. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Look at his hope, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. You talk about a waiting and a longing. He compares it with one who's had a rough night, and you're longing for the morning two times. He says that I wait for them as one that watcheth for thee in the morning. His cry and recognition for Israel is that they would hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy and there is a plenteous redemption. Why would you preach this tonight, Pastor? Here's why I want to preach this tonight. That man sat in front of me. And with all of those rabbit trails, man, and none of those rabbit trails went to a good place. None of them. And then he just sat back. And with peace, he said, but God has redeemed me out of that. And all of those rabbit trails had robbed him from hope and brought him to despair. And what a joy it was just to reckon, hey, that's under the blood and I can go forward. So here's what your preacher wants to tell you tonight. The devil will want to keep you from going any way but forward in walking with the Lord. And he will bring up your sinful past. He will confront you with the hot mess of the moment and the complication of your life. But you've got to understand that there is forgiveness with the Lord. And when I reckon myself to be in the depths or drowning, and I reckon myself to be in a place where I understand that I need to cry out to the Lord, I can come to him and find deliverance. I can come to him and find redemption. I can be bought out of that moment. I can be delivered from that moment. And understanding the heart of God, it brings to me hope. And the psalmist said, listen, I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm hoping in his word. What a joy it is to be able to say, listen, that was true about my life, but that's under the blood. Not only does God redeem us from the sin of our lives and the difficultness of our lives, but I want to share this with you too. The psalmist said, let Israel hope in the Lord, verse number 7. There is mercy with the Lord, and with him in plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. A redeemed Israel was able to go forward. And a redeemed Israel was able to once again be pleasing to the Lord. Okay. Pastor, man, I talked to another guy, and this was an illustration. He said, for 15 years, I was wrong with the Lord. For 15 years. He said, I was saved, but for 15 years, I didn't walk with the Lord. He said, for 15 years, I kind of wasted and rotted in my Christian life. He said, I came to Plantation Baptist Church, and God renewed within me a revival and a spirit. And this is kind of an older man. And he said, Now I'm wanting to serve the Lord with the time that I have left. And I had been studying this lesson. And so I said to him, I said, sir, listen, the Bible tells you that you are to redeem the time, but I believe that God also will redeem the time. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean by that. Let's say you got saved in 1971 the way Marge got saved in 1971. And let's say that you served the Lord, but you had times when you didn't serve the Lord. Maybe you haven't been right with the Lord for a long time, or maybe you've stopped serving the Lord here. Or maybe you think, well, I've just gone so far, and now I don't have much time left, and so I'm not able to do this or do that. You will be amazed at how God has the ability to redeem the time in your life. And how that, once you position yourself right with the Lord and redemption takes place over the sinfulness of our lives and that's put under the blood, it seems like God speeds up the ability to serve him. He lengthens those opportunities. He stretches those opportunities. Why do I tell you that? I tell you that because I believe that hope has been stripped away from a lot of God's people. And they look back at their life and they look at the hot mess and the failures and the complications and they just kind of gave up. And yeah, they've got it right with the Lord as far as it's under the blood, but they never got back to that moment of serving the Lord faithfully because you let the devil beat you up with that. And you think, well, those days are over. As long as you have breath in your life, you should be serving the Lord. And the Lord will buy back that time. He lengthens that time. He uses that time. He does wonderful works there. What a joy it is. What a joy it is to know that God has redeemed me in my sinfulness and saved me, but also to redeem me in the moments of my life, I'll never forget that man leaning back in my chair with wonderful peace and saying, yeah, I sure messed up my life, but God redeemed that. Amen. Amen. Because truth be told, we're all kind of like that man in this room, aren't we? But by the grace of God, shall we pray?